Well, I know you may find this hard to believe, but I want to begin by telling you this morning that I know exactly what you're thinking right now. I do. You're thinking, well, I thought everything from Texas was supposed to be big. You're thinking, I wonder if he drives a pickup truck. Well, I must confess that after many seasons of Little League baseball games and soccer games, I drive a minivan. And I wish that my wife Melissa and our son David could have just all piled in the minivan and come with me to Alabama this week. But please know my appreciation for your invitation to come and be with you. I have known, as Buck said, known many of you in times past. Barry Britnell, I've known for many years, and I'm shocked beyond belief that people trust him with their lives in the Middle East. So good to be with him again and to see his family, and I look forward to being with all of you this week. I want to get right into our lesson for this time period, and hope that you'll open your Bible and follow along. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 8. And use a statement that Jesus made on this occasion to begin not only our study this morning, but hopefully something that will help us this entire week. Luke chapter 8. We'll read verses 16 through 18. Luke 8 and verse 16. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. You could see why Jesus would say this after the parable of the sower. The parable that in Mark's account, Jesus said to his disciples, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of the parables. Because this one had to do with the reception of the Word of God in the heart. And so if you don't get this one, you won't get the rest. This time in Luke's account, he says, take care then how you listen. The wife does not say to her husband, you're not hearing me. She says, you're not listening to me. Because there is a difference between hearing and listening. Isn't it amazing when you think about our worship service, all that we do to improve how we worship? If we want our song leaders to do better, we might invite someone to come in and have a song leading workshop. If we want our young men to learn how to lead, well, we'll do a young men's training class where they learn how to say public prayers and things to do at the Lord's table. If we want to make certain people's minds are in the right place, we'll read a passage or we'll give some talk before the Lord's Supper to make sure we don't partake in an unworthy manner. And then we come to the sermon. And we expect everyone to just go into autopilot. Well, I've been listening my whole life. Why would I need to learn how to listen? Isn't it amazing that we think this is something that requires no skill? That we just do automatically. Jesus said, take care how you listen. And I want you to see this morning, that involves when you come into the assembly. Now I want to dismiss any notions you might have that as a preacher, I'm going to lay out everything that people do while we preach that annoy us or that distract us. I don't want you to think that this sermon is self-serving. because I'm just going to preach here for the next few days and then I'm going to go home. But all of us have a responsibility to take care how we listen. These are the words of God. We're not listening to a political speech. We're not listening to a motivational speech. We're listening to the words of God. Take care how you listen. I want you to see that you have three responsibilities. Every time you listen to the preaching of the gospel, not just this week, but every time you listen. Number one, take care how you listen. Listen with responsibility. Don't just think that this is the time of the service where I can check out and the preacher's going to go on his rant or he's going to ride his hobby horse for a little while and then we'll stand up and sing and then I'll engage again. No, you have a responsibility as a listener of the gospel. Turn to Acts chapter 17 and notice what is said about a group of people on this occasion when Paul was on his second missionary tour. And in Acts chapter 17, he went to the city of Thessalonica and they ran him out of town. And so, verse 10, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I want you to imagine what a temptation it would have been for the people in the first century when Paul and Silas went from place to place preaching, for them to say, well, these are the apostles. Surely they have it right. I mean, Paul said he didn't get this from man. He got it from God. Surely he's not going to steer us in the wrong direction. They listened with responsibility. When they heard Paul preach, they then examined the Scriptures to see, is he saying what is true? And imagine how difficult it would have been in that day to have a copy of the Scriptures. But they didn't use that as an excuse either. They received the Word with eagerness, but then examined it, because they were listening with responsibility. If we don't get this part of our worship right, does it really matter how well the preaching is done? I mean, we've got this dynamic speaker, or we've got someone who can really hold our attention, who's interesting, who makes it come alive. But if it's not done according to truth, what difference does it make? You have the responsibility to make certain these things are so. Well, how do you do that? You examine the Scriptures daily. You listen with responsibility. In this text, the word examine is a word that was used in their legal system. It meant to investigate or evaluate. That's what they did with the words of Paul. Later in Acts chapter 18, we see this principle put to practice. Verse 24, there was a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. Can you imagine putting all of that on his meeting announcement? I mean, people would have flocked to hear. He's educated. He's eloquent. He's mighty in the Scriptures. We continue reading. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. want you to be impressed with a couple of tent makers who took this eloquent, educated man aside and said, there's a part you don't have of this. You don't know the whole counsel of God. How could they do that? Because they were listening with responsibility. A few years ago, I was preaching away and somebody's cell phone started ringing in the auditorium. And it didn't just ring, it kept ringing and kept ringing. It was one of those annoying songs that everybody was probably humming along. And it finally cycled off. Nobody ever picked it up. We later found out it was the phone of one of our older ladies of the church, and her daughter was mortified. She said, "Mom, why didn't you turn off your phone?" And she said, "Well, the whole time it was ringing, I thought to myself, somebody has the same ringer I do." There will be times in our services where there will be distractions. And our attention will be diverted. But that does not remove our responsibility to see whether these things are so. Take care how you listen. Listen with responsibility. Number two, listen with humility. Listen with humility. In James chapter 1, James talks about this seed being the word which is implanted. Again, drawing the same illustration Jesus did in the sermon on or the parable of the sower, using the word as seed. But I want you to notice a word that he uses in James chapter 1, starting with verse 19. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Well, why would he say to do that with humility? In humility, receive the word implanted. Why would that be important? Because one of the temptations in listening to preaching is to apply that to everybody else. You ever do that? "Oh, I wish somebody would have been here. They really needed to hear that. She needed to hear that sermon on gossip. She really talks about people behind their back." In humility, receive the word implanted. And what that is even when you read a verse like verse 19, "Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger," the first question ought to be, is that for me? Am I sometimes too quick to speak when I ought to be listening? Do I have trouble controlling my temper? You know, Jesus dropped a bombshell on the disciples at the Last Supper when he told them he had already predicted he was going to be betrayed. But now he said, "One of you around this table will betray me." And guess what all the disciples said one by one? "Oh, I bet it's Judas, isn't it? I tell you what, I've been suspicious of him from the start. Wanting to hold the money box." Every one of them said, "Is it me? Surely not I, Lord." Would you have the humility to say that? "Surely not I." Take care how you listen. Listen with humility. I want to give you a secret that I'm probably letting out of the bag way too early this week. But secret of how to make a preacher's day. You might think that when the preacher is standing in the back, the thing he wants to hear more than anything else is, great job, good sermon. You hit a home run today. Do you know what the preacher wants to hear more than anything else? I needed that. You helped me. Sometimes it's expressed this way. Have you been reading my mail? Why? Because that tells us the sermon found its mark. It found the heart. It found the target. That the Word of God with humility was implanted. Take care how you listen. Listen with humility. Don't apply it to everybody else in the room. Ask this question. Is it I? Take care how you listen. Number three, listen with accountability. So you listen with responsibility and humility, and then finally with accountability. And that means I'm going to put this to work in my life. I'm not just going to say that was useful information. That was well presented. It was something I needed. I'm going to say, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to use this right away? In John chapter 21, after the resurrection, Jesus dropped another bombshell on the disciples. Peter had boasted that he would go to prison and to death for Jesus. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. And sure enough, that happened. And so Jesus, on this occasion, asked that same disciple three times, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And his response was, well then, do what I've called you to do. Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he was signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them and the one who also leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Now, you see, that's what we do when we hear a hard sermon that's going to require some sacrifice on our part or some difficulty in our life. We say, well, if I have to do that, what about her? That was Peter's reaction. Jesus said, Peter, there's going to come a time when someone else is going to have control over you and you're going to be put to death because you're my disciple. And Peter looked at John and said, well, what about him? What's he got to give up? Listen with accountability. All you can control is what the Lord has told you to do. And so Jesus said to his disciple, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. It's very easy in the comfort of the church building to make commitments and say, I surrender all. I am resolved. What's it going to be when our faith is demanded? And when someone calls us into question and says, are you his disciple? Listen with accountability. This is what I will do. How many times does Jesus have to ask you, do you love me or not? You just saying the words when you're surrounded by your fellow believers? Or is this who you really are? Do you love me? Then do what I've told you to do. Listen with accountability. One final passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do you know what happens when we listen and take care how we listen? Look what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. The church at Corinth had become their own epistle. People were hearing about their lives and their faith just because they were living what Paul had preached while he had been among them. So do you know what happens when you listen with responsibility and humility and accountability? You become a preacher. You preach a sermon with your life. And people can read and know the Lord just by watching you. So take care how you listen. It'll serve you well here. And it'll make a difference in the world we live. You'll become a sermon yourself. Thank you for listening so well.